Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, you found the right location to find over 4,000 hours available, free on demand of the best and the brightest the world has to offer. Thanks for joining us for Authors First. Our guest this hour, John J. Zelensky. You're going to love the author. He is a fabulous, passionate man who has written a suspenseful, supernatural, paranormal book of just impeccable quality. His writing is so stylistic, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest this hour. His book, Walker's Veil, available everywhere on the World Wide Web, or simply go to his website, johnzelensky.com. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. How do you do, John? John? Hey, where did he go? Well, audience, John is going to be with us. So don't get discouraged. He's here somewhere. Let's see. John, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, see, I knew it. John, thank you for your patience, for supporting the arts on the Artist First Radio Network. We've been at this since 1996, training college students in the area of broadcasting, and we share our board and our equipment with lots of engineers, and but here we are.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, here we are in the 21st century where this type of content, that our audience, wherever you are on planet Earth, in the military, in Afghanistan, here in the States, in your own hometown, they can listen to the show, not only live like this broadcast, but later as an archive on all types of mobile devices. This has been a tremendous help to authors, especially Christian authors, who've had difficulty getting into this business. But finding something that you're passionate about and writing on that topic, that is the key to success for any author. And you certainly have hit on that topic. John J. Zelensky, our guest. This all began really for you when your parents, your family moved to a new home.
Yes, that is correct. When I was about almost seven, my family and I moved into a new house. My family, actually, my mom and dad still live there, so there is a happy ending. But when we moved into the home, there were all kind of strange things that started to happening almost as soon as we moved in. There would be boxes falling over by themselves. There would be lights flickering on and off by themselves. You know, a little humorous, the toilet would flush by itself. And, of course, we checked into all of these things, you know, to make sure there were no logical explanations. Nothing was, you know, everything seemed to be working fine. Probably the most dramatic thing I remember was my mom was reading me a story, and I remember hearing a big thud of like a heavy footprints of footsteps coming down the stairs where we were sitting. And that's something that I'll never forget. It just scared me really to the point of, you know, to the point, I guess, of wondering what was happening. And when I was 6 years old, for somebody that small to be scared, you know, with something like that and not just brush it off, I think that really stuck with me.
You're right, John. I think at any age, certain traumas we want to bury and forget as if it never happened and remove ourselves from the event.
Right.
Whether it be a car accident, a death in the family, or being involved in an incident that ended badly, we want to push that in the background.
Right. That's I guess we tend to, you know, we want to repress those things, and after that, of course, you know, not only I was affected by that, but my family as well. And we grew up, and my family is Pentecostal. We called the minister, who was our minister, of course, at that time, and he did a number of prayers, and he anointed each room with holy water. And after that, all of those strange things just stopped.
So, praise God.
In other words,
what you were hearing in the way of activity in the home was not of a positive nature.
No, not at all. And I don't know if this is still the case. We were told that the man actually who had built that house died in one of the rooms upstairs. But you know, I necessarily don't believe in ghosts. I believe that Satan, who is the father of lies, can impersonate different spirits, different persons, and it's not a good situation to be in at all.
No, well, but the fact remains, these unexplained presence, that it's very common. This is not an uncommon thing.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's so common, that's why a lot of people just build their own house. They want their own home.
Right. Right. Because you never know what you're moving into. I think that sometimes there are different channels that open, maybe different passages to another dimension. If you allow certain things into your home, maybe that necessarily aren't of a good nature, that carry an evil persona with them, that may be an open doorway for a presence to, you're inviting that to come in. And I was looking over some of the data on this. From what I was reading here, it says that nearly half of all Americans have reported at least two supernatural experiences of their own. And one in five Americans have reported seeing a real-life ghost in some form. So, I mean, one in five, that's kind of amazing to me.
Well, yeah. The amazing thing to me is that it's not confined to any particular locale. It's worldwide. Whether you're in China, Europe, Asia, anywhere else in Asia, Africa, the sensations, experience remain the same.
Right, that's correct. So I guess you would really say that began my interest into the paranormal, supernatural. Ever since then I just became fascinated with, not necessarily the dark elements, but how there is another side to the dark side. I don't want to focus too much on the evil side of the coin, but there is the positive, the good side, the angelic presence that can counter that and can actually defeat those evil spirits.
John J. Zelensky, our guest this hour on Authors First with Tony Kay, the book Walker's Veil, available all over the World Wide Web. We invite you to visit his website, johnzelensky.com, to learn more. Be sure to share the interview with everyone you know, especially on your smartphone and other mobile devices. Supernatural, paranormal, coming from a author with a personal interest in the topic for a lifetime, beginning at age six. And I don't want to jump ahead too far, because your parents are religious people and they had faith that whatever presence may have been there could be discouraged and sent away, and they remained in that home to this day they live there, correct?
Yes, they are still there. Nothing more has happened since that time. One of the funny things, if you will, back at that time there were rumors going around, of course, the new people move in and there's all kind of strange things, and we had kids lining up that they wanted to visit the haunted house and things like that. But that's since ceased. My parents are still in that house, and everything is fine. And supernatural, I think, in my opinion, paranormal, there's that evil side, but there's also a good side. There's, you know, I have had experiences with positive supernatural events. So, you know, there's definitely two sides to that.
I'm so proud and privileged to have John J. Zielinski on Artist First Radio. You're of the caliber of Tyler Perry in putting your faith to work creatively, and I just congratulate your work so much. I hope that the secular world can get beyond Christian-based supernatural paranormal thriller, because it is certainly of television caliber. You're so fluid in your language. You've really taken care to express it's chilling, the way you can put words together to build an image to show that's so powerful.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. You know, I worked hard on this book. There's actually another, maybe possibly two more parts to this story. It's not finished with Walker's Veil. There's going to be a second part, which I'm working on. But this, you could say, is the first installment of the story of James Cooper and his family as they move to the town of Walker's Veil and start to encounter some things that were definitely unexpected.
Age 6, impressionable years, and this occurrence didn't last very long in terms of, you know, it wasn't persistent for years or anything like that, correct?
Right.
They pretty well took care of it as soon as possible.
Right. Being that my parents were of the Pentecostal faith, we knew, you know, we had heard about these kind of things, and we dealt with them as quickly as possible.
Now, so, do you have siblings?
I do. I have a older sister and a younger brother.
And did they recall, or were they left with any lasting impressions of these occurrences?
My brother was too young to remember at that time, but my sister definitely can recall this, and you know, she has herself an interest into the supernatural and paranormal. So she's a Christian to this day also as well, and yeah, she can definitely remember the experiences we had when we first moved into that home.
As Christians, we have our center in, of course, the persona of Jesus Christ. In the death, burial, resurrection, his spiritual body, the promise of the resurrection, our spiritual bodies, angelic forces at work for us, prayer to saints, the dead who've moved on to serve God in other worlds. We as Christians, understand supernatural, paranormal, and accept it as a part of our base of faith in terms of this other reality, this dimension, and believe that it exists.
Right, definitely. You know, growing up in the Pentecostal faith, that's something that we were, you know, taught from an early age, that there's an unseen world, if you will, a battling of angels and demons, you know, invisible to the naked eye, but constantly warring, trying to get the souls of men, women, and children. You know, I believe that there's definitely a heaven, a hell. There's an alternate dimension to this life that we're in, you know, and with consequences are, you know, based upon what we do in this world. So, you know, I think that you have to make this, what you do in this world, on this earth, count, because there is something else waiting for you, I believe.
This reinforced the faith that you were taught at home.
Yes, it definitely did. Like I said, that probably started my interest into the supernatural, the paranormal, and I've been fascinated with it ever since. I've, you know, I enjoy not necessarily the gory horror movies or anything, but I do like the movies that will touch on those things. I don't like movies that just focus on, you know, killing and beheading and those kind of things, but I do like a movie that will. And it's really hard to find something that's faith-based that will, like you said, reinforce the faith that's inside of a person. too many of the movies and books and everything try to focus on the negative side, the evil, and glorify that. And with my book, I was trying to show, yes, there is that side. There's definitely an evil, negative force in the world, but the force with Jesus, God, that is definitely the stronger side.
I believe there is a deep need to have some fact and guidance in the way of understanding, I shouldn't say fact, theology, for instance. And you're right, movies are for that purpose an entertainment, and it's unfortunate that people get their theology from movies
right.
and what they see on reality TV. You know,
right.
And so I believe that although fantasy's okay, as long as we understand that's what it is—a work of fiction. Okay, that's all right.
Sure.
But when they merge it with fact, like, oh, this really is going on, and this is the way it is, then you got to wonder.
Exactly, I definitely agree with that. There's so many things out there that are just trying to deceive people. I think. Some of the shows that are on, currently with the Ghost Hunters, or I'm not singling one out, but, half
the time, you get my point. The paranormal, it's everywhere, go to cable. Yeah, there's one. Yeah, there's one,
Right. Right. And I think that's essentially, I don't know if people are necessarily looking to be scared. I think what it comes down to is a deeper inner quest for something that they're looking for, and I think that's a way of expressing it, through through different channels. I believe that the answer to all of these questions is faith in Jesus.
Growing up, the same bruises and cuts and wounds and relationships that all of us hopefully experience if we make it into adulthood. All of that happened. Certainly the event became less important in your mind as you focused on school and relationships and your future.
Yeah, I became involved with different things. I started with music. I actually play bass guitar. I played in a band for a little bit. I worked in a store as a manager for a while. I'm currently working as a VA certifying official for a school now, so... I'm just happy that my wife also shares my enthusiasm with the paranormal and the supernatural as well. So, and I have two little ones, and I don't know, they like Scooby-Doo already, so I don't know what that means.
Well, write what you know, what you have a passion about, what has impressed you deeply, then that passion is coming through in your work. I mean, you're very concerned about what you're framing as a story in Walker's Vale.
Right. I wanted to take something that was, something that would actually happen to me, something that's happening to a lot of people, paranormal, supernatural events. I wanted to put it into a story, of course, that was fictional. So trying to combine the two of them, I did spend a lot of time writing the story, developing it. And like I said, there's a couple more, at least one more book in this series that will be hopefully available within the next couple of years, maybe even next year, I'm not sure. So, I do enjoy this, and a lot of people ask me, what do you hope to accomplish? And, besides writing a book and selling books, I want to, help people, I want to... get across my point that the faith in God can overcome things, and not necessarily, with the paranormal realm. Of course, that's what the book focuses on. But in this story, I think it touches on deeper levels about doubt and faith. Faith that's been wavered a little bit, disappointment. So. These are all, human elements that that affect all of us, and I think the book also touches on that. So I'm hoping that when people read this book that they'll also come to understand that, there's a point to faith in Christ, that there's a better way than than the way that they're in right now. And hopefully this book will get that across.
Did you have in mind when you were writing the book, John Zelensky, our guest this hour, that a particular type of person would be drawn to the book, demographically, age, males, females? Did you have any feelings or thought about that in the writing process?
Well, generally, when I was writing this, I thought that, you know, probably anybody between the ages of 18 and 80 would probably enjoy a good story. So it really would appeal to both male and female, maybe more so the female, because there's a strong woman character, James Cooper's wife in the book, and she's kind of the rock that he leans on a lot. So, yeah, I think that women will definitely relate to this lady. The man in the story is kind of the person that's going through the doubts and the things that he can't explain. So, you know, I think it could, you know, for both male and female.
I believe audiences enjoy based on actual event-type stories, obviously, television and in books. So you begin with a base of information that excites you, and you realize this actually happened, and now you can build a whole new framework around that story.
Right, exactly. That's my that was my agenda.
And having it done in from a Christian paranormal and supernatural point of view, with the spiritual guidance of the Holy Spirit and your faith and your family and the evidence of the suppression of this activity through the work of God, that made a lasting impression for you and your sister all your lives.
Exactly. And, you know, I know that if it happened to me, I'm not alone. If it happened to my sister and me, possibly throughout the ages, millions of people who've had experiences. And, you know, on my website or Facebook, I'd love for to connect with people like that so we could connect and share our stories maybe and help each other out maybe, so to speak.
And what's wrong with that? I mean, I believe many people, not all, but many get involved in UFO or a Bigfoot research or other paranormal research on the basis that they had an event. Something occurred that they can't quite get all the way around, regardless of who believes what.
Right. There has to be a starting point at some place. So, you know, whatever you're interested in, of course, that's what you're going to follow. That's what you're going to like. That's what you're going to read about. And that's exactly what happened to me.
And here you are. I mean, you didn't envision, hey, one day I'm going to write a book about this, and I'm going to call it Walker's Veil, and it'll be sold all over the World Wide Web.
No, I never had dreamed that. You know, I had been writing since high school. I never really got serious about the profession of writing until the last few years. So this is my debut novel. And you know,
it's tough, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's tough.
To break into the writing world?
Well, to write something well.
To write something well, yeah. You can write, anybody can write. To write well, to get your thoughts across in a particularly orderly fashion, it's not easy, definitely.
Well, I mean, you look at a book and it could become a daunting task if it's not very well written.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
We'd like to be able to turn them pages and, wow, these characters, they're building on me now. Ooh, you know, I can't get it away. It's 2 a.m. I can't, I have to, where can I stop?
Exactly.
You love those books. And I think that's what you were really hoping could happen.
Oh, sure. I don't think there's any writer that doesn't have that in mind when they start out. They want to create a memorable set of characters that, most importantly, that the audience can relate to, that, you know, you can say, oh, I went through that myself, and, you know, that happened to me. I remember when something like this happened to me, and there's that bond between the reader and the book and then the author, and all three are connected. So, you know, I love that part of it, connecting with people on a personal level. I love when people tell me that the book has touched their lives, it's strengthened their faith in God, and of course I love hearing they, you know, I love the book, it scared me a little bit, so, you know, that was, you know, there's a lot of different things that go into writing a book. There's a lot of things that go into, you know, connecting with the author, and I think that's the real important part.
Mobility with books, the Tyndale, having the information available, buying it as an e-book, much more affordable. So many options. You've also created a book trailer. You have a fabulous website. Audience, if you haven't visited the site yet, please go to John, J-O-H-N, and then the last name, Z-E-L, Zell, N-E-N, Ski, S-K-I. Is there an S in there, too? No, that's
There's
it.
There's a S-K- J, John J.
Oh, you have a J in there. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, audience. Sorry about that. It's John J. He stuck that in there. Okay?
Yeah, I snuck the J in there.
Snuck that in that website there. Okay. But to make it easy, we'll have the link next to the show. And when it's there, you can send it to your pastor. Great books are worthy of reading. And John J. Zelensky, thank you for producing a wonderful book, for allowing God to work in your life, for having this clarity of knowing that there must be some bigger purpose why the event happened and the way that it shaped your life. And here you are, being able to frame a story. Will there be sequels to this? You mentioned that your characters are compelling. Do you think they'll be revisiting us in the future?
Oh, definitely. There's, I mentioned, at least one more book in this series. You know, so if anybody is interested in the movie deal, you know, I think, like you said, that would make an awesome movie. Some of the characters, some of the special effects that could be in there. But, yeah, there's definitely another part to this. And, in fact, I'm going to do, well, actually what I was thinking about doing is maybe an online exclusive, how the story of Walker's Vale started, you know, maybe exclusively to my online followers. And the second part of this story will be, of course, released in a book form. So that's something in the works.
Did you guys see that book trailer? Let me see something. Can you hear it? No, it won't play. I tried.
Oh, thank you.
I was going to try the. It's a good trailer, but I can't get it. I'm not. Hey, if I had one of the college students in here, they'd fix me right up. But I'm not there. Okay. Sorry, folks. Oh, what's the boxer? The boxer's on here. Where'd that come from? Oh, it must be another YouTube right after yours.
Right, right.
Okay, just checking, just making sure here. All right. Fun project. Okay, you have to learn web design or have something to do it for you. You have to be able to maintain your site. Now you have a blog. You're prepared to communicate with people. You have your book. You have it listed all over the World Wide Web, and you have a book trailer when they visit your website. You're doing all the right things. You have even gone to the extra effort of having your book reviewed by others, critics, people who are professionals in the field, and they concur with Tony K. Well done, my brother.
Thank you. Yeah, the support has been really great. I appreciate you having me on the show, and it's just an honor to be here and share my story and my book with you and your listeners. I do appreciate that.
So, audience, you'll want to get your copy. Buy 4 or 5. What do they cost?
They're $10.99.
$10.99. So buy 10 of them. Get $100, okay? And get it out there, folks, because there's plenty of people who could benefit. Or do this. Buy one for the library. Then when that 14, 15, 18-year-old go into the library, there's a Christian book, Christian author, that has something on the paranormal and supernatural that they can read, and you can feel comfortable with them reading it. Just buy one and give it to the local library. Okay? And it's a good investment. Of course, you can read it first and then donate it, all right? And then you'll have to buy another copy. So, John J. Zelensky, thank you for putting the book together. Very affordable. and a quality work. So have fun with that. And for those listening, what's the length?
The link for the book?
Yeah.
It's, well, my website is johnjzelensky.com.
Now, how many pages? What's the length of the book?
Oh, the length. I'm sorry. It's 136 pages. It's a relatively short book. You can probably get through it in a weekend or a couple of days. So it's not a gigantic book. It's, like you said, it's very affordable. And the Kindle is even cheaper than that. So, you know, it's really something that everyone can afford. It's not going to break your bank.
And, you know, the Kindle, that whole technology is fabulous. And I'm glad to see young people still reading. We want them to read.
We do. We definitely want them to read. You know, I'm 40 years old, and the Kindle is something it's here to stay. But, and I don't know if you agree, there's something to actually having the physical book in your hand, though, and you know, holding it and turning actual pages. But maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know.
But that's right. I mean, our life experience has always been, there's the bookmobile, you know. And today, our children, it's the computer. It's
exactly.
The computer. Is it there? If it's not there, it doesn't exist in their world.
Exactly. My little 4-year-old daughter, you know, can show me things, and you know, she's so advanced on a computer, and that's how the world is today. It's technology, and like I said, it's here to stay. But Kindles are great, and books are great too. So,
what if the power goes out?
The power. Right. That's when the physical book comes in handy.
I mean, couldn't that be a story? You know, the paranormal, the end days, you know, all we've grown as a society to rely on everything that is technology.
You're right.
We don't, our food, the way we cook it, the way we deliver it, the way we eat it, the way everything is dependent on a utility.
Exactly.
And you build this world, and here it is. There's this world, there's all utility, and then one day, the utility comes to an end.
That's an awesome story. It's, you know, how many times that we can't function even without a calculator, you know, for basic math. We've become so reliant and so dependent on the...
What's my mom's phone number? It's in the directory. There's no battery.
Too many pins and passwords to remember. It's the time we live in, I guess.
Well, that's right. And you, audience listening in Iraq, Afghanistan, all over Europe, our veterans, God bless every one of you. Thank you for joining Authors First with Tony Kay and our guest, John J. Zelensky. His book, a fabulous read. You're going to love it. And thank you, John, for supporting the arts and being our guest and sharing the details, the backdrop of your authorship. And it's really changed your life, hasn't it?
Yes, it definitely has. You know, it's affected how I look at everyday events. It's affected how I deal with different situations. My attitude, my personality, of course, is affected by the choices I make. So, and that's what I wanted to get across to everyone, that there's, you know, what you do here on this earth, it's going to affect what you do in the next dimension.
Writing, too, I mean, that's an art. It's something you have to learn through trial and error, finding your voice, your method, your way of communicating through this medium.
Definitely. I think that, you know, writing is a skill just like anything else. You know, when you first get on that bike, you're going to fall off once or twice, maybe more than that. But the more you stay on it, the more you practice, the more you become accustomed to your equipment, your tools, you're going to develop that skill. And, you know, if people say that I can't write, you know, I always say, yes, you can. You just have to put the time into it. You have to write about what you know. Just write. That's pretty much the bottom line. And you will find that once you start writing, your skills will develop, your vocabulary will increase, and before you know it, you're going to have a little story on your hands.
It's a little bit like drivers, you know. You've got those that do very well that I hate, and then you have those that are, you know, mid-range, maybe 7 in the scale of 10, and then you have those that are 4 or 5 and they're very irritating, but that's okay, they could be on the road. And then you have those that are onesie twosies, and you say, these people get off the road, you shouldn't even have a license, what are you doing out here on the highway? And authors are a little bit like that, right? I wrote, but it wasn't quite what I wanted to be. It's maybe at 1 or 2 on my scale, and then I throw it all away, and I start over again. And now maybe I raise the bar, and I've made it a little better, and maybe it's a 3 or 4. And then after more crafting and thinking and writing, it's, oh, gee, I think I'm at least a 7. I got something here that I can publish. Along the way, what was that journey like for you, John? Is this a short journey or a long?
Well, I don't know. I think it was, I guess it was a long journey, if you want to put it in that perspective, because like I said, I had been writing since high school. I think my 10th grade English teacher told me that, you know, he said, wow, you can write. And that, that experience encouraged me to continue with it, with poetry and writing songs and music, and I had been involved in that. And I always had the desire to write the novel, and I think life experiences, different things that I encountered throughout, not just my childhood, but all through adulthood, you know, that led up to the story, and I just began to put it on paper. There were many revisions. I guess that's what the eraser is for, but or the delete key, I guess, is the proper way of putting it. Starting over, rewriting chapters, making it all make sense, putting it together and fitting it in. And, I guess it would be considered a long journey.
It is. For anyone, I interviewed an author, one in particular that said 10 years to finish a book. I think it was like 236 pages.
I guess that's not uncommon to work that long on a story. For me, it was just, you know, going back, redoing things, checking facts, and, getting it all together to make sense. So it can be a long, sometimes painful process. But for me, really, I found out once I got the characters moving, you know, I couldn't wait to sit down and write the next chapter because I wanted to find out what was going to happen myself. So it was very interesting. I love doing it.
How exciting. And certainly of the right size to be a film. I think that would be great for you, and I look forward to having someone pick it up. The book, Walker's Veil. Tell us about that title, and of course, it that was evident probably from day one.
Walker's Veil, I wanted something that sounded, it's a fictional town, I just created the name, but I thought from the beginning it sounded a little, you know, ominous or eerie, something that, there's a history, and of course with the story of Walker's Veil, there's an eerie history that is repeating itself as the families move into this small country town, and they find out that the devil is in the details. That's the tagline of the story. And, I think a lot of people don't pay attention in life to the little things, and the little things are probably the most important things in life that, you know, really should be focused on sometimes, because that's where all the interesting things are hidden, in the details.
Well, and if it gets converted to or translated to German, we just call it Walker's Ale. Be a big winner. W is V in German. V silent ale. I know. Bad joke.
No.
But it is. Titles for books come to authors in different places. You know, some authors will say, well, I didn't have a clue what this title was going to be until I got to the very end, you know. And then somehow there were the words. You know, and others frame from the very beginning. Oh, I know I want to make this mystical place. I want it to have this eerie sensation that it could be. And a veil symbol has a sense of what's behind the veil. And Walker, that is like this person, strong person, you know, who maybe dominated the town.
Right. It's actually interesting that you mention that because the town is named after Ezekiel Walker, who is the weird, seemingly odd preacher in this whole story that kind of ties it all together. And he is a very strong character in the story, along with the protagonist James Cooper. But Vale has, you know, short for valley. But it also, is symbolic of what's hidden behind there, behind the veil. There's another side to the story, if you will. So, yes, that's very true.
What about timeline? Authors like to use a frame of reference. Do you place these happenings in a particular geography? Give it a name, but does it have a state? Do you have a time frame of events?
Yeah, I had to, being in Pennsylvania, I had to get my home state involved. So Walkersville is a fictional town here in the state of Pennsylvania. It's towards south of Philly, near the Delaware Valley. I try to create a small country town that was kind of lost in time that the big corporate giants hadn't moved into yet. And everybody kind of still knew everyone else, but behind all of this, there's a dark secret that's being hidden. And the little girl in the story, the autistic girl, she is the key, of course, to the whole story. And, it takes place in modern day. It's not an older story. It happens in modern day time. And, Walker's Vale is definitely right here in Pennsylvania, so I didn't want to offend anybody and use my hometown or anybody or anything like that. So
I mean, you'd have to go out and you'd have to give them a dollar bill and they'd have to sign away their rights.
Right.
I understand. But certainly you were crafting this whole, I'm coming into this town and going into a particular frame of reference and the dominance of a past preacher and generations of families that have lived thereafter in this community.
Exactly. There's, like I said, a dark secret that's being kept hidden. I don't want to give too much of the story away, but...
Come on. It's almost the end of the show.
When the family moves into the town, you know, eerie events and strange things start happening almost immediately. The pastor of this small church, which, you know, has his own story behind the scenes, which the book gets into a little bit later on in the story. Like I said, the girl, the Cooper's young daughter who's autistic, is the key centerpiece to this whole story, and she possesses a gift that, that's central and it's going to be, definitely the key element in the next story of Walker's Vale.
That makes it intriguing. Intriguing. And you could imagine that this person would exist.
Right. The pastor, Ezekiel Walker, he kind of dresses dark attire. He doesn't believe in costly things, and he's kind of surly and strict, and that's the other part of the story too. Sometimes you can't always judge a book by its cover, but sometimes you can. So I'll let the readers decide what they agree or disagree on that point.
There you go, John J. Zelensky, selling to the very end. Yes, buy your book today. You're going to love it. It's a compliment. Thank you, John, for doing such a fabulous job with the book and for having the support of your wife and working a full-time job, juggling all of this and developing a website. What about speaking engagements? Are you planning on getting out for book signings or book fairs? Have you thought about the life of an author on the road?
I've thought about it, and it's something that definitely intrigues me. I do have some, and I have had some book signings in the past. I have one in coming up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, on August 14th at the Barnes & Noble there. I would love to be out there meeting people, shaking hands, and signing books and connecting with people. That's what it's all about.
John, is there a testimonial that you could give in a church of 8,000, 10,000, 25,000 members, one of the mega churches where you would set up and sell 1,000 books that day, be able to speak in front of them and tell your story and how God has used you to bring this book into reality? I mean, this is a fabulous gift. For all of our young people to recognize how God can shape our talents.
Yes, I would definitely welcome that opportunity to share my story and most importantly, lift up the name of Jesus. That's the most important thing. I would love to tell the masses about the redeeming power of Christ and the hope that is in the Christian believer. There is another world out there that's trying to influence, trying to shape your life, trying to take your soul. But definitely the power of Jesus can overcome all of those things. So I would love to someday be able to share that to the masses.
Is there time? Your blog, your website, promoting the book. How do you find time to have a meaningful spiritual relationship with the Lord, your wife, and family, and find time to write? A lot of bloodshot eyes. Are you a 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning writer, or how do you fit it in?
That's an interesting point. There is a lot of bloodshot eyes. I'm sometimes up till hours in the morning trying to get everything done, trying to, hone the website the way I want it, trying to write the next story. Trying to pursue my bachelor's degree, so there's a lot of things going on. How do I find the time? I think the only way that I can explain that is, just that God gives me the strength to carry on sometimes when I feel like I'm unable to. Sometimes I look back and I wonder how I did that, but then, of course, I realize that, it wasn't me. The power is not in me. The power is from God. He gives me the strength to do the seemingly impossible sometimes, and that's where my strength comes from.
Walker's Veil. On the cover, you have a photo of a church. Tell us about that location.
Well, that's just a church and... In the story of Walker's Veil, the church is an important part, too. There's a lot of things that, in fact, that's the ending place for a certain event. That picture of the church actually fits exactly with the outline of the church portrayed in the story. It's not necessarily one, that I'm familiar with. That was just one that the publishing company used for that. But I felt it was so perfect, I just had to
use it. Wow, me too. Well done. The publisher, you're not self-published then. You found someone to guide you through that process.
Right. Tate Publishing has been great. They're setting up the book signings, and they did the book trailer for me. So I'm very happy with them.
That's awesome. Congratulations, John, on this book. We look forward to many more. And, of course, your return to Authors First with Tony Kaye. Audience, be sure to visit the website johnjzelensky.com to learn more about our guest and, of course, to buy your copy today. Get out there and get it. Always a good time to read, and especially a Christian author who allows you to share this with others to bring inspiration and perhaps a different awakening of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So thanks for being with us, John. Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to or a special thanks before we let you go?
I'd just like to say, thank you, Tony, for having me on here. It was a privilege to be on here. I'd like to say my mom's in the hospital now, so if you can, maybe the listeners out there can say a prayer for her. She's dealing with diabetes, which is such a horrible condition to be diagnosed with. So I just want to say, hi, Mom, I love you, and thanks for all of your support through the years.